Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. Sister Phyllis, again, has been good and kind enough to pull it for you and put it up on the screen and share it with you. We certainly thank her and Sister Tracy for all that they do to allow us to continue to meet and greet one another over this technology. Thank them for their faithfulness. Amen. All right. Now, you have more than enough time to get there. And if not, you'll see these words on your screen, and they go as follows. The Jews then complained about him, because he said, I am dead. But is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I've come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And so just for a few moments of your time, we want to talk from the thought, the idea, and the theme, understanding the nature of the bread. Understanding the nature of the bread. Some time ago, my wife asked me, what are the edible parts of an artichoke? Now, one of our favorite restaurants is Houston's. We like going to Houston's because at Houston's, we can get some items that we don't get at our own. I'm not cooking up all the stuff that they cook up at Houston's, and I get it. The people at Houston's, you know, in addition to the food you get wonderful service at Houston's. You're able to sit down comfortably. You're able to engage with those who have come with you to eat. I like Houston's, and one of the things I really like on the menu is the spinach and artichoke dip. And so while we're eating that spinach and artichoke dip, and like I said, I like the spinach and artichoke dip, it doesn't matter what my entree is going to be that day, I will always have the spinach and artichoke dip, because I like the spinach and artichoke dip. So we're sitting down and she asked the question, what is the edible parts of an artichoke? And I really couldn't say, because I really didn't know. I didn't care really, because the spinach and artichoke dip is good. So she says, you know what? I'm gonna find out. So what she does is that the one we go to is not far from Bristol Farms. So we go to Bristol Farms, and she goes and she talks to the person at the produce area, ask him about artichoke and how would one prepare it. And so he explains to her that you can't eat everything that's a part of the artichoke. And then on top of that, there's a certain way you must prepare it, and then before you can eat it. And then there are only certain parts of it that you can eat. And if you, for by chance, come across a mature artichoke plant, you can't eat none of that. So he takes her over to where the artichokes are. He helps her select some artichokes, and then he explains to her how to cook and then eat the artichoke. From two parts of the artichoke, the bottom of the leaves and the heart of the artichoke. And usually that's either steamed or boiled. And so she went and she got the artichoke. She prepared it the way in which the produce manager had explained it to her. And so as she began to eat the leaves of the artichoke, and really she wasn't eating the leaves, she was really scraping the bottom of the leaves and then eating the heart. In other words, most of that artichoke, that big head, is really a thistle. And most of it you cannot eat. You have to tear off the leaves, pare it down, and get to the bottom. And that's the point that I'm trying to get to you today. That in the passage that we have selected, of those who Jesus is speaking to, and Jesus is speaking to the Jews, in the former passage that I covered, I think verses 22 through verses 40, Jesus was speaking to the crowd that had followed him across the Sea of Galilee. Oh, you remember, this chapter 6 is a big chapter, and it covers a lot of things. Matter of fact, we covered the first part of that chapter when we were doing our study in regards to the deity of Christ. And we realized that in this first part of the chapter, in chapter 6, Jesus performs this miracle where he feeds over 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He feeds them and then he leaves them. He sends the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and then he goes to the mountaintop to pray. He catches up with them as they're struggling against the waves on that sea, and walks across the ocean, gets into the boat. The boat then at that point is able to make it to the other side where they struggle. But you know what? It's just the thing about Jesus. Whenever he's on board, everything works out just fine. And so as soon as Jesus gets on board the ship, they're able to go across the sea. Once they make their way across the sea, the crowd that did not see Jesus on the other side got in boats themselves, made their way across the sea, began looking for Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they asked Jesus, how did you get on the other side? Jesus cut them to the quick, and he says to them, you're not looking for me because of the words that I speak, but you're basically looking for another meal. Look for the food that does not perish. And so his first statements that he makes to the crowd. But in these statements that we are going to look at today, Jesus is now speaking to the Jews. And so one of the first points that I want you to take home is that a hardened heart makes understanding difficult. A hardened heart makes understanding difficult. One way that a hardened heart makes understanding difficult is that by offense. My first point, if you're taking notes, my first point is that they were offended by the bread. They were offended by the bread. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Matter of fact, how is it that he says, I come down from heaven? Now, they should know by now, whenever Jesus has spoken to a crowd, whenever he has spoken to any type of group, he always makes it the point to speak to them in parables or using metaphors or similes. And so that, again, they don't necessarily follow Jesus to understand Jesus, but some folk follow Jesus for different reasons. The crowd followed Jesus so they could see if they could get fed again. This group followed Jesus. The Jews followed Jesus so that they might be offended by Jesus. And so throughout his ministry, Jesus uses parables, metaphors, and similes. And so they missed the teaching style. They could care less about the teaching style. What they wanted was a reason to come after Jesus. And so what Jesus does, he begins again to teach them using this metaphor. He takes that which they know, bread. Everybody knows something about bread, even cornbread. You know, you want bread when, when you have the greens, you want some bread. When you got some ham hocks going, you want some bread. when you know, when a sandwich, you want some bread, sometimes just for bread itself. Matter of fact, when times are rough, sometimes you just get two slices of bread and have an air sandwich just because, you know, you just want some bread. Bread is something that just about every culture has. In this particular case, Jesus takes something that they know, which is bread, and then he introduces something using bread and a thought, an idea that they didn't have before, and introduces something new to it. He takes bread, that same bread that he multiplied and that he fed the 5,000, that bread, that food that he fed these same Jews, he takes that bread and then he begins to talk about the manna that came down from heaven. Matter of fact, the crowd brought up that idea about manna. You know, well, Moses gave us manna, and Jesus had to correct them and say, no, Moses didn't give you manna from heaven. It was God who sent the manna. Moses just simply put you in groups and made you go out and collect it. The manna didn't come from Moses. The manna came from God. And so here, Jesus is introducing the same point. This is the first of seven I am sayings. First, he says here, I am the bread. And bread, of course, gives us that same idea that it is what? All that bread is good for you. It has nutrients for you. Bread is helpful for you. And so he talks about that bread and then he marries it up with the manna. And so most of the Jews were aware of the story. Matter of fact, you're not a very good Jew if you're not aware of that story. You know, the one where Joseph goes in to Egypt. He saves the day for those 7 years of famine. And then, those 7 years of famine, at which time his brothers then come and join him in Egypt. And then the Bible says there came a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And so they became slaves. And so God hears the cries of those people, and he sends Moses to liberate them. So during that time when he sends Moses to liberate them, Moses takes them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And so Jesus begins to state to them, give them the idea that that manna that came down from heaven was given to them by God. And so they know this because it's a part of their history. It's a part of their makeup. It is a part of who they are as a people. And so those same people that Moses led into the wilderness, here it is, God is feeding them, and they had the unadulterated audacity to be upset with God because that's all that God sent. Come on, y'all. I think you understand where I'm going. And that's not too much different from many of us today. How many of us can say that we had sons tired of what in our refrigerator and that they wanted something else? I'm like, if you want something else, then you need to go find a job and then go buy it for you. And then while you out buying it, make sure you buy enough for the rest of us. Amen. And so my point is that God becomes upset with them because they, here it is, they are getting manna from heaven, something they don't have to work for, something that they did not have to put any effort to other than to go and pick it up and eat it. The same is true now with their descendants. Jesus, they have the audacity to be upset and complain about Jesus because what they thought they knew about Jesus. They knew his mother. They thought they knew who his father was because he simply grew up around them, because most of these people were Galileans. They had known Jesus. They knew his earthly mother. They knew his earthly father. We know that the father that gave life unto him was God the Father. They did not know that, and they probably didn't bother to even look it up or even ask about it. But with that being said, they complained that manna was not sufficient for their forefathers, and Jesus was insufficient for them. They missed the metaphor in order to be offended. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who believe in me, you will receive everlasting life. They didn't trip on the fact that Jesus said, I'm gonna give you everlasting life. They tripped on the fact that Jesus said, I am bread and you got to eat me. If anything, I would be tripping, and this is just me. If I was tripping, I wouldn't be tripping on the fact that he said he was bread and that we would have to eat. He said, everlasting life. I said, well, how you going to give us, the correct question would have been, how you going to give us everlasting life as opposed to you going to give us your flesh to eat? And Jesus catches it, but they don't catch it. They miss the metaphor so that they might be offended at him. They were offended by the food because of who they thought he was, not in fact of who he was. And they either did this by accident or they did this on purpose so that they might miss it and then dismiss him and say, basically, he is a madman or he is crazy or he's out his mind because he says we have to eat him. Notice, again, they don't trip on the fact that he says that you'll have everlasting life. They trip on the fact that he says, you got to eat me. They didn't. The manna was insufficient for their forefathers. They felt that Jesus was insufficient for them as their descendants. But in addition to being offended, second of all, they didn't want that bread. The scripture makes it clear. Jesus therefore answers them and says unto them, don't murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. It is written in the prophets, they all shall be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father will come to me. Except none has seen the Father except one who has been with the Father. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, or verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. See, there's a direct tie in there between the everlasting life and him. That is the reason why he frames the statement the way he frames his statement. Everlasting life is dependent upon him. Whether you call him the bread, whether you call him the way, the truth, or the life, whether you call him the light, either way, he is the only way to eternal life. Don't trip because he said bread. Don't trip because he said light. Don't trip because he'll tell you he's the only way. But if you're going to trip, find out what he means by, hey, I am the only way that you can have eternal life. Jesus explains to them why they cannot accept him. They can't accept him because like manna that fell from heaven, come on now, they didn't know what he was. The word manna means what is it? When it fell from heaven, I can just imagine the first time that manna came down from heaven and I was an Israelite. I mean, I don't know what this is coming from the sky, but let me go stand here under my roof and make sure it don't first hurt me. And then once they figured out what it was and that it was good and that it tasted like, the Bible says it tasted like honey wafers. And so they gathered it together and Moses told them, look, don't gather no more than for one day. And that just makes sense, right? Because you can't live but one day at a time. So he said, don't gather no more for one day, but on that day before the Sabbath, gather enough for two, because you need to rest on the Sabbath. And so, again, Moses gave them instruction on what it was that they needed to do with the manna. Here, Jesus is giving them instruction on what to do with him. But because they were, number one, offended by him, and then, number two, they didn't know what to do with him, they couldn't come unto him because they did not try to understand nature. They couldn't accept him because let God open their hearts or their minds. They were looking for the earthly amongst the spiritual. They saw that Jesus was able to do all these wonderful things. They saw that Jesus was able to touch folk and heal them. They saw where Jesus was able to raise the dead. They saw where Jesus was able just to speak unto those who were omnipotent and made it so that they were able to get up and walk and carry their own bedding. They saw all these things that Jesus did that no other man could do at that time or since. Notice that everything that Jesus did, it was whenever he healed you immediately. Whenever he rose the dead, he rose the dead immediately. Everything that Jesus did, it had a right now time to it. But this, when he begins to talk about, I am the bread of life, I am the truth, the light, the way, he, all these things, when he says all these things, he's talking about himself giving them eternal life. But yet they're tripping because he didn't come the way that they thought, because they expected the Messiah to come in a different manner. They didn't expect him to come from Galilee, a rough and rugged town. They didn't expect him to have no resources per se, but everything that Jesus used on the earth, he acquired in an unusual manner, or people provided it to him. Matter of fact, the two of the disciples, when they first came to Jesus, they asked him, well, Master, where are you staying? And he replies, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of God has nowhere in which to lay his head. Jesus was essentially homeless. So all I'm saying is don't trip on the homeless people, because for all intents and purposes, Jesus during his ministry was somewhat homeless. He relied upon those who believed in him to get him the things that he needed. But the true things that we needed from him. So he didn't come the way that they expected him to come. They couldn't accept him because even though he was greater than the manna that fell amongst their forefathers, they, just like their forefathers, they felt that the manna was insufficient. And so when they looked at Jesus, they felt that Jesus was insufficient. They didn't believe in Jesus because they didn't believe in his credentials. We know his mama, we know his daddy, and then he says he comes from heaven. We can't accept this. And so the Jews were offended by the bread because they didn't want the bread. They didn't want this Messiah. And then they didn't understand the purposes of the bread. Thirdly, they did not understand the purposes of the bread. The Bible tells us in verses 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, and I shall give it for the life of the world. The bread is from God. He made it clear to them that the manna that their forefathers received did not come from Moses, but it came from God. And so Jesus is making the same point here, is that here is one that is greater than manna from heaven. This is one who has come down from heaven. And now that I have come down from heaven, I am able to not just help sustain your life, but then give you eternal life. They were tripping because he said he came down from heaven. Again, they did not trip because he said, I can give you eternal life. They were tripping because he did not meet the requirements that they thought that the Messiah should meet. No, he not the Messiah. He didn't come the way that we thought that he should come. But you know what? Praise be unto God. He came, he lived, he died, and he rose again, because the Bible says that he came so that what we might be forgiven of our sins. I don't care how he came, praise be unto God. I just praise God that he came. And he came and he did that which he said he would do. Was it that he said he would do? He would give us eternal life. He says, I am the bread of life. And you know what? Every first Sunday, matter of fact, I want to remind you that next Sunday is a first Sunday. Y'all going to need to get your elements ready for next Sunday as well, so that we can celebrate communion. But here it is. Jesus is explaining, and they're not getting it. He's explaining what the bread is. The bread is a metaphor for his death. The bread is a metaphor that this body will be given so that we might live. God has the power to give you life should you choose to eat it. Don't be like the people who say, you know what? I don't know what's in it, so I'm not going to take it. You know what? You don't make that argument when you go to the doctor. The doctor says that you are suffering from some type of disease, some ailment. You know you're suffering from some disease or some ailment, and the doctor says, take this ibuprofen. You say, will it make me feel better? The doctor say, take two of these. Call me on Monday. If it don't work, what you do? You'll take yourself down there to the pharmacy. You pay your good money to go buy the ibuprofen that the doctor has told you and has prescribed to you. You don't go and ask the pharmacist what's in it. You don't even go and ask the pharmacist what type of other ailments may this pill give you. All you simply want is what? Relief from your sickness. All you want is relief from your disease. You're not asking the people how it's made, who made it, and then and you base your decision on what they say. You base your decision on what? You take it, you see if it works, and then if it heals you, you praising God. God is the doctor of your soul. He has told you that you have a sin sickness. He has told you that the only way that you can get healed from your sin sickness is to eat the bread of heaven. And so here it is. Jesus has said, I can help you with your sin sickness. Believe on me. Eat the bread. Are we talking about eating his flesh? No, we're talking about believing on him. If you believe, and the Bible makes this clear, that if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. Every first Sunday, we go through this the bread and the wine. The bread is representative of the body that Jesus gave so that we might receive eternal life. That body that he gave, that death that he died, it wasn't that we're eating him. What we're doing is that the Bible tells us that as often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we do show that which he has done for us. That's why don't be tripping on him saying, eat the bread. Because Jesus tells us, as often as you eat this bread, it is what? Emblematic of my body. He says that as often as you drink of this cup, it is emblematic of my blood. There's no need for you to trip. There's no need for you to even, well, I'm going to be nice. There's no need for you to even trip thinking that there are certain souls who believe that when the priest raises the cup up and raises the bread up, that it automatically supernaturally transforms into the body and the blood of Christ, and that you're actually partaking of the body and the blood of Christ. No, we are a little bit different. We just simply believe that these are elements, or this is emblematic of what it was that Christ has done for us. And so, here it is. Jesus has told us or given us the opportunity to understand the nature of the bread. But some will not receive it because they'll be offended at the bread. Others will not receive it because it is not the bread that they want. But then those of us who have heard his word will receive it. We know what the purpose of the bread is. And the purpose of the bread was so that that bread might be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. That that same bread would be taken to the cross. That that same bread is, that the bread would have nails placed in his feet. That that same bread would be hung high and stretched wide. That same bread that the Jews rejected, we now receive. And because we received it, because we have chosen to eat of it, we shall have everlasting life. Songwriter has said, and I'll be done. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. Word of God has gone forth and is doing those things which it has been purposed to do. Some to be exhorted, some to be encouraged, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of Him. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would just simply ask that you would pray this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me, it was your very first time ever saying that prayer and believing in your heart, the Bible says you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. The Bible says that every time one believes for the very first time, that the angels in heaven rejoice. But see, the thing is this, we're not in heaven, so I can't rejoice with you. So I would just simply ask that if you made that decision for salvation, that you would reach out to us. If you're watching me on Facebook, you're more than welcome to hit the like and then also make a comment. And if you're able to give me a comment, I'll reach back out to you. And we'll talk further in regards to what is your next step in regards to salvation. With that being said, may God bless you and keep you. That is my prayer. That it ends our Facebook portion.